Thank you. Please be seated. That last verse of Amazing Grace, that when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first began. It's always been one of the most amazing verses of any song to me. And we're going to be looking at that idea of eternity a little bit later in the sermon, very briefly. But we're now going to have our scripture reading, which one of my children was meant to be doing, but they've gone out. So, lack of people, you've got me for that as well. John 6, verse 35 and 41 to 51. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." At this, the Jews there began to grumble about him, because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'?" "Stop grumbling amongst yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them. And I will raise them up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learnt from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Thanks be to God. Let me pray. Father God, I pray that by your Spirit you will speak through me, and that by your Spirit you will speak to us all. Amen. As Anna did last week, we're looking at Jesus being the bread of life. Firstly, what that means for the world, and secondly, what that means for us as his followers. You do not need to look very hard to see that there are problems in this world. In just the last few weeks, we've had two escalations in the major wars that are going on in Ukraine and Israel, and neither show any signs of stopping. Quite the opposite, actually. The rumors and whisperings of World War III are becoming ever more common. And things are not much better here in England, with the stabbings a few weeks ago and the riots, protests, and mindless destruction that has happened since. Even in our own lives, there will be worries and troubles, sicknesses, financial worries. The world we live in is falling apart. Being a dad is not always easy, but I do have some good answers to my daughter's questions sometimes. On a few occasions, my daughters have seen people doing things that weren't good, things that we've told them were naughty. Maybe things as simple as pushing into a queue, you know how we British hate that. Or something like dropping rubbish and walking away. But they always ask me the same question: why? Why did they do that? And I find myself giving this answer every time, often without even thinking about it. That answer is because they need Jesus, because they don't know Jesus. This is something that was instilled into me as a child, and now Zena and I are trying to instill that same message into our girls, that the world needs Jesus. To put that into context of our reading today, the world and its people are hungry. They are starving for something to fulfill them, to give them purpose, to bring them happiness. They are starved of life, and for the most part, they do not know that the fulfillment, the true everlasting fulfillment, comes from Jesus as the bread of life. You see, there's a Jesus-shaped hole in everybody. And people are trying to fill that with everything else but Jesus. Food, sex, alcohol, money, possessions, stuff, more stuff, and then even more stuff. Always more, because they will never be truly fulfilled by that. That is why there is so much anger in the world. People are always searching for the next thing. They're always getting frustrated that they cannot find the fulfillment that they seek. They start to blame others, and they always need more. Have you heard the term hungry? It's a mixture of the words hungry and angry. It's used to describe someone who acts out or becomes short with people when they're hungry. You get hungry. And it won't go away until you've eaten. I know a few people like that suffer from that. No names mentioned then. And I'm sure we can all think of some people ourselves. This is what is happening to our world. The people are hungry. And nothing in this world will fill their stomachs and relieve that angry feeling. This is not a new thing. It was happening at the time of Jesus, at the time of our passage. Israel had not heard from God through a prophet for 400 years. They were starved of that spiritual contact that they had enjoyed through the prophets. They had been conquered, and they were now living in submission under Roman rule. They were waiting, longing for the Messiah to turn up. And then Jesus comes and starts turning small meals into feasts for thousands. See, our reading takes place just one day after Jesus had fed 5,000 men with a boys' picnic. And these people have questions. They're probably physically hungry again, because the meal, no matter how big the day before, was an earthly meal, and they will need to eat again. And so they come to Jesus with this. Verse 31. Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Now, can you see what they're actually asking here? You fed us once, yes. You fed 20,000 people, yes. But Moses, he fed hundreds of thousands of people every day for years. If you want us to believe in you, you're going to have to do a bit better. You're going to have to feed us again. Then we may believe. So how does Jesus answer this? He answers in verse 32 and 33. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Firstly, he points out their mistake. It was not Moses who gave you the bread, but God. And if you go back to read Exodus 16, it's quite clear. And not once does Moses or Aaron claim any credit for it. Quite the opposite. They tell the people that they will see God's glory in the morning. So these Jews, they've become confused along the way. And then Jesus does something that Jesus does a lot. He starts having a different conversation with them without their knowledge. We see the same thing when a man asks Jesus for healing and Jesus tells him that his sins are forgiven. Why? Because Jesus knows the greater need of his people. While these people are asking Jesus for more earthly bread, Jesus starts talking about the bread of God. Because Jesus knows that if he gives them more earthly bread, they'll be hungry again in the morning. But if they eat of the bread of God from heaven, they will have eternal fulfillment. And so finally, we come to the first verse of our reading, verse 35. after the people have misunderstood Jesus again and goes, well, we don't care about which bread it is, just give us some more bread. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. You want bread? I am the bread. Just as a side note, when preparing the sermon, I came across an interesting fact that I wanted to share with you. In the Greek translation, there are two words used here by Jesus for I am. So what he actually says is, I am the bread of life. And this is not a mistake or a stutter. It's actually taken directly from the story of Moses in the Greek translation of the Old Testament. When Moses asks the burning bush, who shall I say sent me? God's reply from the bush is, I am that I am. What Jesus is saying here, I am sent me, and I am. This is Jesus telling the people and us that he is the great I am, that he is God. And he uses this statement for all of his I am sayings. So what does Jesus being the bread of life mean for the world? Well, we look at how the world is, we look at the current events happening all over the world and in our own country, and we ask the question that my girls asked, why? And we look at the answer that the world needs Jesus. As I was preparing this sermon, there were riots and demonstrations going on all over the UK. Watching the footage and seeing the anger and the hatred. It's not of God. And it's easy to see that people on both sides of the argument need to taste the life-giving bread that is Jesus. There's an internet campaign going on at the moment. I don't know how tech-savvy you all are with social media, but a hashtag is trending and it says, Britain needs Jesus. And it does. That's what this means for the world. For a hungry world, they need the bread of life. Now, I'm well aware that I'm speaking to a room that is, for the most part, full of followers of Christ. People who have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. People who have tasted the fulfillment that Jesus offers. So what does it mean for us? What does it mean for us now that Jesus is the bread of life? Well, I'm going to suggest that if Jesus is the bread, then we are the waiters and the waitresses. That is our job. That is the role that we were charged with when Jesus left earth, to go and make disciples of all nations. It is our duty, our role, to bring Jesus to the world. We are his ambassadors here on earth. The Bible asks the question, how will people know unless they are told? Well, that's our job, to go and tell hungry people that there is a once and for all satisfaction to their hunger. It sounds so easy, doesn't it? If you are hungry, here, have some food. But I'm sure we all know that it is not that simple. People are hungry, they are starving. But most will still refuse the food that we have to offer. My girls often, and I mean often, maybe 10 times a day, say the words, I'm hungry, throughout the day, but usually within half an hour of meal times, both before and after. Our reply as parents, and I remember the same reply from my parents, and probably this conversation has gone on in one form or another for all of time. It goes like this. Dad, well, it's more. Dad, I'm hungry. Well, if you're hungry, get some fruit. I don't want fruit. Can I have some crisps? No, if you're really hungry, you'll eat what you have, what we were offered. But, and so on. Do you recognize it? Most of the time, they're not even hungry at all, just bored. But often, even when they are hungry, they will not eat what they do not want to eat. See, that our girls have the luxury of knowing that there will be more food offered, that their dinner is not far away. This isn't the case in all of this world, and we pray that it will always be the case for us. But Jesus tells us in verse 44 that no one can come to me unless the Father who sent him draws him. So sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. Jesus is very clear that not everyone will come, but only those that the Father draws to him. Those chosen since before the foundation of the world. Those the Father chooses to give as a gift to his Son. This is what we've just been singing about in the song Amazing Grace. Now, I've heard people trying to justify the lack of evangelism with the fact that those chosen will come regardless. But God has created us for a purpose, and that purpose is to serve and obey. So we have to take Jesus' final commission to heart, and we have to go out and try and make disciples. We have to go out and offer the bread of life. And we pray that we will be the tools, that we will be the means that God uses to bring more of his children to Jesus. What an absolute honor. Now, I just want to finish with a little bit of a warning. We need to make sure, as waiters and waitresses, that we are serving the right bread. We have to be so careful that the Jesus we are presenting to the world is the Jesus of the Bible. There's a lot of other food on offer in this world. People can try and find fulfillment in just about everything. Wealth, fame, sex, holidays, possession, power, food, alcohol, drugs, the list is endless. Anything that earthly people strive for that is not Jesus. Even those whose ambition it is to live a quiet life and just be comfortable, they're trying to find contentment where Jesus is not. Even a lot of the so-called churches that are not preaching the true gospel. A very good representation of this would be the prosperity gospel. That is not the gospel that Jesus teaches. It's all about earthly fulfillment. There is no difference to that and a man visiting a strip club to find fulfillment. And then we come to all the other religions who over the course of thousands of years have made up their own gods, their own rules, their own sacrifices. They're writing their own recipes for filling the stomachs of everybody's lives. All of these things may offer some temporary relief, but none offer the life that Jesus can. You may remember a few weeks ago, Anand told us that out of the 300 churches in the Canterbury Diocese, there are two that are standing firm on the Word of God, us and one other. And I admit when I first heard this, I felt a certain amount of pride that St. James's was standing strong against the apostasy that has taken over a lot of the Church of England with regard to same-sex blessings and the living and loving faith. Our archbishops and most of the other bishops are trying to rewrite the recipe of Jesus. But if Jesus is the bread and we are the waiting staff, then God is the chef, not us, and not the leaders of our church. That pride I felt, however, has since turned to horror as I started to realize the significance of that statistic. If there are two churches that are preaching the true gospel, that are offering the true Jesus, that are offering the true bread, then there are 298 churches just in our small area of this world that are offering this hungry, starving people bread that will not satisfy. Sure, their bread may look very similar, identical in many respects. It may even taste almost the same. But once eaten, it will have to be eaten again and again and again, because the eaters will never be satisfied. They will still be hungry. And they will always be hungry until they have eaten the true bread. And this is horrifying, because if they die in their hunger, they will be hungry forever and ever, with no fulfillment, no satisfaction, and no hope of satisfaction. That is the fate that awaits our hungry world, that do not know and have not tasted the true bread that gives life. They will be starving for eternity. This is why we here at St. James's have such an important job. We have the true bread to offer, and we need to be getting out there and offering it. There's an urgency now in the final commission, maybe more urgency than there has ever been. This world is not going to get better on its own. We know that. It's not going to get better through wars and riots. People will only get better when they have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. And the world will only change when the true bread returns. Let me pray. Father God, thank you for sending Jesus, our bread of life. Thank you for drawing us to him. Please help us individually here at St. James's and as a whole church to bring the bread of life to our area. Keep us strong so we can always offer the true bread and not a fake version that will not satisfy. Thank you that you are in charge, that you are sovereign over this hungry, hungry world. And may our lives glorify you as we wait for your return. Amen.